I want to talk to you about favors this week.
Okay, all right, go on.
And I don't mean in like the like medieval sense. I mean like when you ask somebody to do something for you. And I realize now
like giving a knight your lacy handkerchief as he goes to joust.
No. And also, I realize that the tone I've taken here makes it sound like I've asked you to do something and you haven't, and I'm hitting you with the sort of as per my previous email type conversation.
Well, I got a similar vibe to that. I was like, I want to talk to you about favors, Riley, as in the favor that I'm going to ask you to do for me right now. I don't know how many favors I could do for you. I mean, there's a world separating the two of us. I can't come and mow your lawns for you. I can't help you move house.
Well, you did a great favor for me relatively recently, Riley.
What was that?
You recommended a male grooming product to me.
I'll take credit for that. I think it really was Manscaped that recommended themselves to us, but I certainly forwarded the email to you. So
I didn't hear anything because of how smooth that segue was. Smooth as all things should be, Riley.
Dennis, we made a deliberate decision with this podcast to not do updates, to not have ongoing like
every episode just stand roughly for itself. Yeah,
exactly. Plot arcs, but I do have some updates. Brought to you. Brought to you in a financial sense by Manscaped.com, but also brought to you in a very literal sense by Manscaped.com.
Manscaped.com, coupon code HALT, that is HALTT, 20% off, free delivery on your first order, supports the podcast, yeah. Please help us out. Go ahead, Riley.
Incredible. Yeah, we've already had a bunch of orders that have come in, so go and add your name to the pile. It's a great way to support the show, but it's also a great way to have Dennis and I put together some amusing, you know, a sideways look at podcast advertising, Dennis. Oh, you know, we do like to be a bit silly on the show sometimes, so look forward to the ad that's coming halfway up. But we're talking about favors.
Yes.
Okay.
I asked somebody for a favor recently that at first glance was nonsensical. And I want you to think about while I tell you the story. And it is part of the Grand America Airport saga. It's a flashback sequence this time.
Oh, I forgot that we're halfway. Just after I've said we're not doing like plot arcs, I forgot that we're halfway through the Dennis Goes to America arc. Yeah.
Yeah, by the time we finish it, I'll be back there. I don't have any current plans to return. I have no holidays booked by that. I'm not like, I haven't condemned the country. That was what I meant by that.
I have no plans to return. I will not return to the United States of America. Yeah.
So I want you to think about a favor you've asked or a favor you've been asked or you've asked someone for that has struck you as odd. I was on the plane and it was a little bit delayed. This was not the grand delay I spoke about before. It was a little bit delayed. Leaving, I think I told you about this person already. And now I'm terrified of already telling the podcast, but we'll find out in a moment, I suppose. I have a backup plan if we didn't. We were about to take off and I connected to the Wi-Fi on the airplane. As you want to do. Yeah. And there was several tiers of, you know.
Oh, you told me about this. Yeah, you told me this, Dennis. Oh, I don't think you told the podcast.
I don't think so either.
You are about to hear, revered listener, Dennis is one of the smartest people I know, right? And you're about to hear why his schemes and plans and cunning tricks are just on a whole nother level. Just a whole, this bloke is on a different level.
It's
incredible.
So,
it's just incredible.
So we had Seatback Entertainment. It was a United flight. And I had the Wi-Fi. And you can pay like $14 or whatever to get the full Wi-Fi. Or the free Wi-Fi just lets you do messaging. You can send Facebook messages, WhatsApp messages, things like that. So I connected to that. I was wherever, you know, I was texting some friends. And then I realized that Barry Season 3 is on HBO Max, which means it's on the Seatback Entertainment. On the United flight. It was not available in Ireland because Now TV, which was what I used to watch HBO shows here, doesn't have some of those deals, whatever, yada, yada. By the way, I love Barry Season 1 and 2. Had not watched Season 3 of Barry. If you haven't watched Barry, I would recommend it. Start episode 1 of Barry, and I'm like, oh, I do not really remember.
It'd been a while between Barry drinks for you, Dennis.
Yeah, I do not remember how Season 2 ended. And then I'm like, I'm on a plane. I can't look up how Season 2 ended. And it was the one time, Riley, watching a TV show where I was like, God, I would have loved a previously on. Because 90% of the time, I'm like, oh my God, I don't need this.
Yeah, skip recap, skip intro, get to the good stuff.
No,
let's go.
I was like, give recap, please. And I was like, okay.
Yes.
I'm on a plane. I can't look up. I'm not paying $14 to find out what happened in episode.
I'm so perplexed. Every time you get in a plane or a hotel and it's like, oh, you want access to internet? No worries. We've got our high-speed, fast broadband that's going to... I know what the internet does. Yes, how much is it? $25 an hour. It's like I don't want it that much. Like I don't know. That's fine. I'm good. I'll just sit here, I guess. Why is it so? What is this premium internet? Is this hand plucked, oven roasted internet?
Yeah.
Artisanal internet that is like brought to you on a silver tray? What's going on with these?
I think they're just scalping. It's a supply and demand thing. They got you by the balls, by the freshly groomed balls when you're on a plane. So what are you supposed to do?
Yeah, I was going to say they can't get you by the short and curlies because you've already taken care of that with Manscaped products. Right,
I'll tell you what you're supposed to do. So, step one, I was like, okay. Step one, I go onto Facebook Messenger. Mm-hmm. I open a chat with myself and I type www.wikipedia.org and I click on the link, thinking that there's a chance that the in-Messenger web browser would work.
Well, that's it, because like if someone sends you a link and you click on it, it opens it inside, not in Chrome or Safari or whatever, it opens it in Messenger, yes.
They've thought of that.
Oh, they've thought of everything, Dennis. I'd imagine that's it. You probably put your phone away and you were like, well, there's no way for me to solve this problem. I'll just watch this show in complete bafflement. I imagine that's what happened next, Dennis.
No, Riley. I started...
Don't tell me you found a different solution. Oh, I don't believe it.
I sent three separate people one fateful message, and they were my friend Oshin, my friend Lauren, and my friend Steve.
Mm-hmm.
Because I knew that Oshin and Lauren had watched Barry, and I knew Steve hadn't and didn't care. And I messaged them, hey, can you do me a super weird favor? Lauren was the first to reply. And my response right after that was, I'm trying to watch season 3 of Barry on the plane, but I don't remember what happened in season 2. Could you please copy and paste the episode summaries for season 2 and send them to me here? I have messaging internet, but not web browsing internet. And she said, ha 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 ha. And there was a pause. And I was like, so could you? And she's like, yeah, sure. And then there's just a sea of episode summaries.
A wall of text appeared. Yeah.
It was perfect. Like, I caught up. I finished the season on the flight. I had a great time.
Yeah. Amazing. And great as well. I mean, I think it would have been even more interesting had you not explained it. Because then Lauren's sitting there scratching her head being like,
yeah, I'm in an alleyway. Someone's got a gun to my head. They're like, you better tell me what happened.
Yeah, exactly.
I gotta know what happened.
You can
Berkman
text. This is your one phone a friend on who wants to be. You're not in the game show Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. And who's you're on the game show Who Doesn't Want to Get Stabbed and Mugged.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you've got one phone call. Exactly.
Dude, I had a teacher when I was in secondary school and we learned a subject called technical graphics, which in a lot of places is called like design and communication. It's like architectural drawing, right?
Yeah, like visual communication.
Yeah, it's
design.
Literally no. That's it's like super like super crunchy, super detailed, geometrically accurate. It's to be an architect.
Oh, okay. Wow. So really, yeah. Wow. Very specific.
And I did it when I was 12, 13. I did it when I was 13, 14, 15 for the junior cert.
Jeez, start you early there. Okay.
And it's one of those things where you're like, it's one of those subjects where like, if I become an architect, this will be useful, and if I don't, I will literally never use this information ever again in my entire life.
Mm-hmm. For sure, yeah.
And we would be like, Mr. Kirby, why are we doing this? And he'd be like, you don't know when a man is going to come up to you in the street and hold a gun to your head and hand you a T-square and a piece of architecting paper and go, I need you to draw me a perfect eclipse or a perfect ellipse without using...
Or an eclipse. You could do that as well. You know?
Yeah. Or like, I need an isometric drawing of a three-story house. Like, all this kind of stuff. So that was a very, very complex and very, very weird favor that I asked of a couple of friends. Lauren was the first one to hit me back up. Shout out to you, Lauren. I want to know, I suppose originally I wanted to know if you've ever been asked or asked anybody to do something really, really seemingly strange, but also if you have any stories of like wild lateral ingenuity, I'll also accept that, I think.
Okay, what I'm going to give you instead is a story about how, because I'm buying time for myself desperately here, because this is one of those things, like, I know that I've got answers, but I actually can't think of them, and I wish I'd been, like, one of the flaws of this podcast is...
Should we discuss these things ahead of time?
I'm wondering, like, one of the good things about not talking about this, like, what we're going to talk about on the show beforehand, and we don't do prep, is that we do get very raw responses
from each
other. It is
a very real podcast, that's true.
Right, like, we don't know what the other person's going to talk about, but it does mean that I don't get the chance to prepare, like, my good story here, but the thing you were saying about your architecture class... reminded me of something that happened to me last week. So I dropped maths. I've always been very bad at maths. And I dropped maths the second I could, right, in year 10. Mm-hmm. But had to get through, I would say, 1.5 semesters of maths I just didn't care about, right? Like, I remember we were learning, like, quadratic functions and formulas and algebra and all that sort of stuff. And we got to, what's it called? Trigonometry? What is it? Sin, cos, and tan?
Sin, cos, and tan, yeah. That's relatively basic.
And I sort of figured out that I was more than halfway through the year, so I was going to be able to get 50% on the exam.
Oh, you're coasting.
Without learning this, right? And me and my maths teacher, Dr. G, we came to an uneasy truce where I would sit at the back and listen to my Discman, Dennis, and not really pay attention to maths just to make both of our lives easier. But then also we started calculus, right? And I was like, well, I'm never going to need these things.
Calculus is wizard. When you're a kid doing a school, calculus is wizard maths.
Well, I don't even, I like, and this is what happened to me this week because of my other much better podcast, halfasshistory.net. Go and have a listen to that. Patreon.com/halfasshistory. Not sponsored by Manscaped, actually, interestingly. So maybe less commercially successful. Anyway, I did an episode on Isaac Newton, right, last week.
Inventor of differential calculus, I believe.
One of, yes, along with Leibniz, right? And in it, I was like, well, I'll get just a rough handle on calculus so I can like say, oh, in calculus, it does this, it does that. This is why it's important, right? I couldn't understand the first thing about it.
Calculus is for graphing curves, isn't it?
It's something about the study of movement and change, but with numbers or something.
Yeah.
I don't have any idea, right? Like, as I said in that show, normal maths is hard enough. I don't know why we need all sorts of new types of spicy new maths that Newton's come up with because, you know, an apple fell on his head or something. Like, what's going on, mate? We don't need this.
Well, do you remember imaginary numbers?
Oh, yeah. The bloody square root of -2 or something, or square root of -1. What's going on? We got enough numbers as it is. Don't need to start imagining them.
That's true. I remember hearing that when Newton went and like derived all these original things for...
The apple didn't fall on his head, by the way. He just saw an apple fall out of a tree one time. He's like, why did it fall down? Anyway, go on.
That he was like trying to do relatively advanced mathematics and hit like the limit of current knowledge. It was like, ugh.
Yes, true.
And then he was like, yep. I got to go invent new math to be able to keep going.
That's what happened. When he was a young man, and this is, again, I cover this in that show, but like... one of the reasons this happened is because of, Dennis, and this might hit a little bit too close to home for us today in 2022, a pandemic. The Black Death was ripping through southern England, and so Cambridge University closed. He went home, started doing his own research, hit a brick wall, and had to be like, I've got to invent a new type of maths. I can't solve this problem without it.
Oh, right. Did I talk to you
about... And then never told anyone about it for 20 years and then got into an argument about who invented it first because he didn't come out and say I invented it back when I was 23 or whatever.
He was nuts, though. He gave himself mercury poisoning. He used to put sticks in behind his eyeballs to see prisms. Yeah, he was a real...
Halfasshistory.net if you want to hear all about that, the last episode on Isaac Newton.
I want to... Sidebar. I want to talk a little bit about like prophetic things. Did I talk to you about Fahrenheit 451 last week?
Which one? Fahrenheit 451?
The book.
Yeah, okay. I've read that, yeah. Huxley, right? Aldous Huxley?
No. Ray Bradbury.
Bradbury, that's right. He wrote Martian Tales or something as well. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
A lot of short stories, yeah. That book is horrifyingly prophetic.
Oh, yeah, terrifying.
It's from 1953. And it's like, and it's because I hadn't read it until recently. It was my pick for book club. Banger of a pick. Something we do in book club, which I like, is every book we rate, everyone gives a rating, but the rating's always different. So when we did Treasure Island, for example, which was Jeff's pick, we rated things out of pieces of 8. So, you know,
six out of 8. Yeah, sure. Okay.
So we rated Fahrenheit 451 out of 451, which gave a great deal of granularity, honestly.
Hang on, out of 451?
Yeah.
Isn't it Fahrenheit 4? Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay, sure. I got confused by the number there for a second, but yeah, all right, go.
Yep. So it gave us a great deal of granularity. But the book, I thought the book was going to be a lot more like 1984. They came out relatively close to each other, and they share a lot of the similar themes. Mm-hmm. But it's not really about censorship. It's about attention spans. And books stop being popular and start being, you know, scary because people stop caring about them. And it's because of a couple of things, one of which is people have these little wireless earphones in their head all the time that they listen to blathering white noise and people talking in them. Which, you know, you listener are doing right now.
No, but this is different. This is enriching your mind. This is highbrow. Uh-huh. You know, this is part of the big marketplace of ideas, Dennis. We're just here, you know, talking about really important things.
Currently, like we're talking about a piece of very important fiction. So this is probably about as highbrow as the podcast gets, to be honest.
Yeah, that's very true.
But there's AirPods in it. And then he talks, there's whole these sections about how people used to watch movies and they would watch summaries of movies and they would watch summaries of that. And, you know, Shakespeare gets distilled down into cliff notes and cliff notes into summaries until everything's summarized in like 3 or 4 sentences. And that was how people prefer to consume things. And I was like, oh, cool. This book is just about the horrors of TikTok.
Yeah.
And Twitter. And I was like, oh, and it was written 70 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's terrifying. Would highly recommend it. Just remind me of it because you said it hit too close.
I haven't read it for years and years, actually. Years and years and years.
I would reread it. It's very short.
Do you know I reread recently? A book of Irish folktales called The King of Ireland's Son.
So the Prince of Ireland?
It's called The King of Island Sun. It's about this guy who goes off on all these different adventures, and it's like this amalgamation of all these different Irish folk tales that have been just put into one long story, right?
Did you get the salmon one?
No, well, this is, I was so enamored by this because I remember reading these books as a kid that I went and ordered online the book, The High Deeds of Finn McCool, because I really want to read The High Deeds of Finn McCool. Finn has a brief cameo in the The King of Ireland's Son, but he's not a main character. The Pooka appears. Do you know the Pooka, Dennis?
You've read Breaking Bad and now you want to go watch Better Call Finn McCool, I understand. A Pooka's a ghost, I assume.
Yeah, who rides around on a horse and everything he touches turns to ash or winter or something like that. Not a nice guy, the Pooka. Lots Pooka of is just Celtic the word mythology for ghost is. Celtic mythology is wild, dude. Oh, it's wild.
I remember when there's a famous story about Gushin goes to the land of the young with Niamh or whatever. He comes back and he wants to help some guys up to Boulder, and like he's on his horse, so he never ages because he's from the land of the young. And then he touches the ground and he ages 15,000 years in 5 seconds and turns to like a horrifying dust skeleton. And I'm like, that's some graphic imagery. Why is this in the story?
One of the wild things about Celtic mythology, more than any other area of mythology, is the stories don't resolve themselves. Like there's the ends of the, like, because a lot of stories are like, and then this happened, and then the whole problem was, it went away, right? Because the hero solved the thing, right? But there's one story about when the King of Cats jumped over from the Isle of Man, right? Jumped over on a series of ships, jumped from one mast to another, all the way to the island of Ireland, right? Arrived, tried to start an insurrection against the King of the Eagles in Ireland, right? And then the two of them got into a fight, were turned into stone by a wizard who was annoyed by the fight, and that's the end of the story.
So is there still a civil war? Not civil, like it's just a war brewing between these two species?
Well, you tell me. How does your cat Yuri feel whenever an eagle flies overhead?
Let me tell you, Yuri's going to get a medal of honor. He's killed a lot of birds. Yuri's going to get a medal of honor for his service in the Cat-Bird War.
the conflict continues. The Emperor Eagle and the King of the Cats are still locked in battle thousands of years later. Anyway. I've bought enough time here that now, Dennis, I wish I could tell you about all the funny favors and things that I've been asked, but I think we got to, I can't think of any, man. I'm sure there's something.
There must be something. Have I ever asked you, I asked you to write a speech for my wedding. That's a pretty standard favor, but it's a hefty one.
Yeah. How did you feel I went?
I think it went really well. We put it in an old episode of the podcast, the whole speech.
Yeah. The old podcast, the hidden podcast, the secret podcast that came before.
It's a scroll the prequel away, but podcast. Yes.
it's in there. Bit long.
It was like 8 minutes or something?
Yeah, a bit long, I think.
Could have done some editing. You did do my favorite gag that we got from Andy, where you come out there with your, and, you know, you take your little piece of paper out from your jacket pocket and you go, you know what, I prepared something, but I think in moments like this, in affairs of the heart, like a wedding, I think it is most important to speak from the heart. And you tear the paper up ceremoniously.
Yeah. And tapped my heart. That was important, like tapped my left breast, yes.
And then you pause for a moment and reach into your breast pocket and take out a second speech.
Yes, that was above, that was in the left-hand pocket rather than the right
Very
one.
I strong.
That was a rock-solid gag. That was a rock-solid gag.
Strong piece of gear. Right, I think you might have bought enough time.
I think so, yeah.
I think
in however many episodes it takes for us to forget it that we talked about favors and stuff, I'll come to you. Dennis, I want to talk to you about favors. Here's a weird thing that I once asked someone to do. I'm sure there's something. But
I think you've bought enough time because I think I hear the Manscaped representative banging on the door.
Knocking on the door being like, boys, that's enough. Wrap it up. Start talking about the fantastic Manscaped products that you can buy for 20% off using coupon code H-A-L-T-T.
Yeah, H-A-L-T-T.
With free shipping. I have to say, now listen. Manscaped gave us a pretty clear brief, right? They said, here are some talking points.
Here's some examples.
Here's some stuff. Yeah, some stuff you can say about our products, that sort of stuff. But they also said, we want you to be honest about the products that we're going to send them to. It's really important you don't do the ad. They said don't start doing the ads until you receive and use the product.
Yep.
Right?
That's true. Our sponsorship started N plus 1 weeks, where N was the date we received the product.
Exactly right. Now, you'll remember from last week that I mentioned I hadn't used the weed whacker yet. I hadn't whacked that whippersnipper right up my schnoz.
Yep.
And after
hairy, disgusting nostrils.
Well, after the devastating revelation last week that apparently I am someone who has a hairy nose, right? Nostrils.
Am I about to hear that is now should be a past tense sentence?
Well, all I want to say, Dennis, and I don't think Manscaped are going to be very happy to hear this, is that these Manscaped products have brought a whole new slew of problems into my life. These are products that are supposed to solve issues for, you know, the removal of unwanted body hair, personal grooming, you know, making yourself look and feel good, right?
Yeah.
But Dennis, I have been going around knocking things over like the big bad wolf and the three pigs because the amount, the volume of air that is expelled from my hair-free nostrils now, unbelievable, like a typhoon.
Is it actually a real difference?
I'm going to school, working with these little kids, knocking them over every time I breathe out, right? Because there's that much air coming out, right? Hurricane force, gale force winds coming out of my hair-free nostrils, right?
Yeah, and knocking these 4-8-year-olds to the ground.
Oh, I sneeze, I'm blowing holes in walls, right? Channel 9 News down there being like, there seems to have been some sort of freakish meteorological event. Winds of this magnitude have never been seen before, right?
Have you done the ears? Have you got supersonic hearing yet?
What was that, sorry?
Very good. You almost got me. I was about to repeat myself.
Haven't done the ears yet, but yeah, the whippersnipper, I jammed that right up the schnoz, and holy moly. It's a jungle. It was a jungle up there.
So, Ronnie, last week we talked about Manscaped products that you can purchase for 20% off with a coupon code HALTT at manscaped.com and how waterproof they are. And I was like, oh, basically they're designed, you know, so you could use it in the shower but not in a pool, right?
Yeah.
I was wrong.
No, we're not. Dennis, it specifically says in the show notes, these are not 100% waterproof because I don't think they want people to go deep sea diving with them.
No. But on their website, in the further information, they tell you the exact limits to a T of how waterproof these things are.
Okay, as long as we're using official sources here, that's fine.
I'm on eu.manscaped.com.
Okay, that's fine.
It's very official. Right. Our trimmers meet the International Electrotechnical Commission standard 60529 rating of IPX7. So what that means, Riley, they can stand 1 meter deep in fresh water for up to 30 minutes.
Well, and no one's taking 30 minutes to shave their nuts. You're golden. That's fine.
I know that this is on a table and, you know, obviously like you get IPX8 if it can stand 45 minutes or whatever, right?
Yeah.
I like to think that if you keep it there for at 29.59, perfectly functioning lawnmower 4.0 trimmer from manscaped.com, no problem. Mm. And then at 30.01, it just bursts and flies apart and becomes entirely useless.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, but we don't encourage you to test that. That's not something that we're advocating that you test. That's been, you know, that's the job of the International Waterproof Agency or whoever figured this one out.
No, but recommend using it in the shower.
And also, well, actually, I'm going to countermand that order because there was something that I figured out only very recently. When you get this, you buy this performance package, it's incredible. It comes with all sorts of stuff. It's got the weed whacker. It's got the lawnmower. It's got some creams. It's got some lotions and potions in there as well. Beautiful leather bag. But it also comes with a bunch of newspaper.
Yeah, and the newspaper is sort of like the performance package 4.0. Yeah.
Yeah. It's got this kind of like gag, you know, like a joke headline, sort of like, you know, news articles. It's not a real newspaper. It's just this Manscaped branded newspaper. And you open up and then it's just another copy of the same newspaper. It's like, oh, this is a very weird bit of marketing materials, but okay, I guess I'll just put it over here and I don't need that. Then I realized, Dennis, that that is actually part of the package for a very deliberate reason, because if you don't do it in the shower, right?
If you are using these products
just on the bathroom floor, well, look, it doesn't matter how I figured it out, Dennis. Okay. I just, the idea came to my mind, no matter how it happens. You put the newspaper down so the hair falls onto that, not onto the floor, what you then have to then sweep up.
Yeah, they've thought of everything. They are in the part of the description. They are referred to as Magic Matte Disposable Shaving Mats.
Well, I didn't read the product description. I just saw, oh, here's a bit of newspaper water they've put in for a laugh. Don't need this. Turns out very useful. Very useful. But they've thought of everything, Dennis. They've thought of everything.
They absolutely have. And you too can have some free reading material to dust with your nasties on.
But, I would just be very, very careful about your exhalation power from your nostrils once you remove that hair, because you know it's going to unlock. I would be the Marvel Universe's weirdest superhero. Oh, that's Noseblow.
Nose man.
You better be careful, but don't stand downwind from him when he's you know sneezing.
I mean, dude, you're not that far off Black Bolt. All he has is a voice that resonates and blows people apart. Anyway, manscaped.com, coupon code HALTT, 20% off your first order.
Can we just focus as well? 20%, that's huge.
That actually
is. This isn't like
genuinely
some 5%. Like 20% is a big discount. That's a lot of money off. Like if you order, you're going to be surprised by like just how much money comes off that order and free shipping. Great for people who obviously, you know, live in the far-flung corners of the galaxy like me. in Australia. Shipping is always a pain in the ass with these sorts of things, but free shipping. Get across it, manscaped.com. These products will, they will change your entire deal when it comes to personal grooming. Can't recommend them enough.
They'll blow your nose hairs out.
Dennis.
Yes.
Something.
Do you want to talk to me about favors? Is that what's what you're here to aim with?
I want to talk to you about favors, Dennis. Mm. Have you ever had a, no. I want to talk to you about something that has come back into my life as part of my return to a more traditional workplace, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, in the last couple of months, I've gone back to teaching. It's been great for the most part. Love working with kids. Have a great time. However, it has exposed me to an element of, it's not teaching. This is not teaching specific, but it is just, it's part of workplace culture, right?
Oh, I think
that in the 5 years between, you know, the 5 years of self-employment where I was just working at home.
Can I guess what you're going to complain about? Because I think I know what it is.
Yeah, I think you do as well. I did not miss this at all.
I have a decent shot of it knowing what it is. And this is also evidence that the podcast is not like pre-rehearsed. I think you, Riley Knight, are going to complain about coffee.
You know what? You're not far off. It actually isn't coffee, but it's definitely, that's cut from the same cloth, right? Okay. It is cut from the same cloth. What I was going to talk about was the abysmal, like just the insufferably awful attempts at conversation that colleagues that you don't know very well make with you. The smallest of small talk, and specifically
tiny talk,
day of the week chat.
Wednesday, huh?
Hump day. Yep. You know. Oh,
almost Friday. I mean, for you, God, already Friday for you.
Already is Friday for me. I can't stand this. You turn up to work on Monday. Ugh, Mondays, huh? It's like I can't deal with it. And there's a couple of levels to it, right? I'm coming in as a temporary, as a casual employee, right? So well, I can't come in and just be like, just stop, don't, please, just shush. I don't want to hear this, right? But even if I did work there full time, like the last full time job I had, you can't be the one at the printer when they're like, oh, Monday. You're like, shut up, stop, just please. I'll talk to you about anything else,
The problem, I think, with also with being a temp and kind of like a blow-in, right, has to be that you don't have time a lot of the time to develop a relationship, develop a rapport for people to know your interests or for you to know their interests or even their names a lot of the time.
Well, it's starting to have a little bit of, because I've got a couple of schools that I go to more than others. So like now I've got some, you know, some workmates, some
but
people
still,
who
compared
like,
to the average employee there, a disproportionate amount of your conversations must be, God, did you see the weather this morning?
Yeah. And coffee is another big part of it. You know, it's like you're talking, oh, I haven't had my coffee today. It's like, oh my goodness, it's just, this isn't conversation. I'd rather silence. It's just, and I know I'm sounding like a real curmudgeon here. I know I'm sounding like an insufferable whinging asshole, but there is something that is so, like, I just can't deal with it when people come to me and they're just like, oh, Friday tomorrow. It's like, yeah, another work day. What's like, it's not any different to a Monday. It's just another day where you go to work and you do the job that you've got and then you go home. Like, it's not, how is it different? How important is the weekend to you? How important is this weekend that you measure your entire week about the proximity that you are away from the next weekend?
Some people live for the weekend, dude.
But that's not how to live a life.
I think I would agree with that. But do you not get, I mean, We were both on pretty loose schedules for a long time, and you've been self-employed essentially, and I mean the stuff you're doing as a teaching is loosely similar to like contract work, so you don't have set hours every day. You know, every week is broadly speaking a little different to you, right?
Yeah, true. Yeah,
and you would often work on Saturdays, but maybe you wouldn't work on a Wednesday, for example, which means that sort of 5-2, 5-2, 5-2 structure did fade away for you for many, many years.
Oh, it doesn't exist for me at all. No, we don't. And Megan's the same because Megan works weekends, right? So our weekend will be Tuesday, Wednesday some weeks, and sometimes it'll be Monday and then Thursday we'll have off together. Like, so
but
we don't have that.
The vast majority of people are 9-5, 9-5, 5-2, 5-2 done.
Fine. But
don't bore you with it.
No, it's not even that. Like, okay, so if you want to really delve down into like the actual nuts and bolts of it, like I think that it's a very unfortunate. And I'm coming from a place with privilege where I can set a lot of my own hours and that sort of stuff because I'm self-employed. But like that mentality of being like the only thing about my life that I get excited about are the 2 days off that I have a week, right? Like that depresses me. Like that makes me feel very sad and like makes me think that people should be looking for ways to enrich their lives further. enjoy their time at work, enjoy their afternoons and evenings after work is finished, which I know, again, it's coming from a place of enormous privilege for me because, you know, I have a non-traditional work schedule. But then again, like I work a lot. I work long hours and I still find ways to make sure that I'm not just like, as you say, living for the weekend. It is a possible. I think it's just a thing that people need to open their eyes to and give themselves a bit of permission to like enjoy their lives a bit more.
I think working from home has changed. Even the little things like going for a walk or like midday showers and things like that have changed people's approach to that a lot. And that's why you see so much pushback with companies pressuring people to get back to the office, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I mean, I go for a walk on the beach. Like, I'll sit here and I'm writing a podcast, writing Half House History, and I'll get sick of it. I'm like, I'm going to go to the beach. And I'll just go to the beach for an hour and then come back and keep working. And it's a good way to do it. And I recognize you working in office, you can't do that, right? But even all that aside, even all that serious stuff aside, forget that. Just talk about something else, man. Anything else.
Well, this
just
is
think
why,
of a different topic of a conversation.
This is why sports are so popular.
And that's fine.
You know what I mean?
See, the guys, it's a ludicrous display on the weekend.
Ludicrous display last night. Exactly.
Like whatever it was. That's great. Like that's better, right? I once had this conversation. I say conversation. I'm being very diplomatic, being very generous with the word conversation. I was at the printer working at my old school.
Are you just looking at one of these involuntary lectures you attended? It's going to say, I think it's supposed to happen.
One of the teachers came up to me at the printer and, hey, how you going? Yeah. How's your weekend? Oh, quiet. And how's your weekend? It's always quiet because if you had an interesting weekend, you don't want to talk about it. Like, it's like, I don't want to sit here and talk to you about my weekend for 10 minutes. Oh, it's quiet. Yeah, didn't do much. Right? Anyway, so that she's like, yeah.
It's
Tuesday. It's Tuesday and we're already doing Friday chat. I can't have, I thought I had another couple of days at least before Friday chat started, but she started Friday chat.
Christmas sale starting in September vibes, you think?
It's just, it was too much for me, man. It was too much for me. Does this happen at your workplace? Is there a lot of, you know, hump day chat around the water?
Back when I was a radiologist, it was constant because when I was a radiation therapist, you would sit, you know, you'd set the patient up and you'd go back out to, you know, the control room on the side of, you know, 15 feet of lead between you or whatever. And you sit and you'd have to, what are you doing this weekend? And you remember what the person's doing this coming weekend because they're driving up to Galway to visit their cousin. And then on Monday, you can ask them how the trip to Galway was. And maybe they can put, but you have to get through the day, dude.
But that's fine. That's a conversation. How was Galway? What did you do? Was it fun? Right?
These
conversational standbys of just like assigning properties to different days of the week, right?
Yeah, I mean, for example, I felt very weird this week, right? Because, I realize now this might sound asinine to you, because Monday really felt like a Friday to me.
Oh my goodness, I can't do that. I can't believe I've been tricked into having one of these conversations on the podcast that I do.
But you ever get that though? Like this Monday, I was just all out of sorts because it felt like a Friday. I went to bed and I was like, weekend tomorrow, and it wasn't. It was Tuesday.
No, I don't have that. I haven't shackled myself to the days of the week having different these magical properties that apparently like an RPG
item.
It's
not about magical properties, dude. If you have a 9-to-5 job, you have to wake up at 7:30 every day except for Saturday and Sunday. It's different when you go to bed on a Friday night.
Because you know you can have a sleep in the morning.
Yeah, for example.
Okay, I'm also familiar with that feeling. Like last night I went to bed and I'm like, I have to get up at, you know, 8 o'clock because I'm recording with Dennis. And then tomorrow I don't have to do that. I understand that. But like... I'm realizing now, like just listening to myself. This is going to be one of those episodes I'm never going to listen to again because I'm hearing myself now be like, geez, I sound insufferable.
It's not that you sound like privileged or insufferable. It's just that you are in the extreme minority. And
telling me that the majority of people go to work being like, can't wait to have a chat about the fact that today's Wednesday.
That's not what I mean. What I was about to say actually was, I think you understand, people don't like, nobody likes having those conversations.
Then why can't we all just make a decision together to talk about something that's more interesting?
Because they can't think of something to talk about because they don't know you. Because they don't have anything to update you on. Maybe they don't feel comfortable. Maybe they feel more comfortable talking about something pointless. Like nobody's like, God, I had a great chat with Riley today about how today was Tuesday and tomorrow is going to be Wednesday and that's the halfway point in the week.
That's the thing. That's what I feel like is happening to me. So I feel like it's happening in all these workplaces. It's like, oh, I just had a great chat about the days of the week. Oh, aren't they wonderful, you know?
No, they're just trying to be friendly. They're just trying to spark something.
And that's what I'm saying. That's why you can't push. And I never do, right? Like, I'm not going to be that. I mean, I'll be an asshole behind closed doors on this podcast. But like, when someone comes up to me and says, oh, hump day, I'm like, shut up. Don't do that to me. I can't. Please just stop. Like,
blow out your nostrils out there when they're split in half.
Yeah, I don't fusro-dar them with my nostrils. No. Like on Friday, one time I went to a school. I had to make a bunch of calls to confirm some stuff that was happening in the afternoon. Every single teacher that I called to, like, I called three different teachers to coordinate this thing that was happening in the afternoon. And each of them opened with, happy Friday. And I was like, oh, I enter you, mate. That's good. It's Saturday, tomorrow, weekend. I was like, I played the game. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm not being that much of a curmudgeon that I'm standing up and saying, oh, this is so stupid. I'm not talking about this. You know, it's kind of got that, you know, you participate in society, but still criticize it.
Yeah, interesting.
Like it has that kind of vibe, but I don't want to be that guy. Although I really
know there's something that I think you would find insufferable because of the years in which you chose to do the years in which you took your career. You haven't been in a job yet where you have a bunch of Zoom meetings. You have a couple, actually, with the broadcast and stuff you did, you would have had a couple.
Yeah, no, I do. I definitely have, like, online meetings, for sure. Yeah.
But have you had, and this is something people complain about a lot, the Zoom meeting that's scheduled from 11 until noon, and it ends at 11:57, and they'll go, I'll just give you a couple of minutes back, you know. It'd be nice. It would be nice to give you a couple of minutes back in the day. I'm like, 3 minutes. Kalu Kalay, the king has decreed that I have three minutes of free time on this summer's eve. That tilts me beyond belief, dude. I don't remember.
I think that falls under the same it category does feel similar, of what, like just banal, trite workplace communication, right? That just, you can't push back against because then you're the one. But everyone, it's the Emperor's New Clothes. Everyone is sitting there being like, this sucks, right? But no one can.
It's just a social contract. It's just to try. I mean, the intent, I think, is to make the day, it's just a little bit of social lubricant. Just to make, just to have the day filled with fewer silences. Because heaven forbid, Riley, I'd be alone with my thoughts for even a second. I need a podcast in. I need something. You could try that. You get some AirPods, get some headphones, walk around with those in.
Yeah, that'll go really well with the kids. They come up to me like, "Hey, can we help?" Shush! I'm listening. Sorry. I'm listening to the Always Sunny podcast. Go and sit down. I'm not interested.
Our friend Marsh used to do that when he would get into an Uber and didn't want to be talkative.
Yeah,
he'd have his headphones, his AirPods in, and he would go, "Sorry, I'm actually on a call." Never was.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's a smart way to do it. I mean, good Uber drivers though, they're very receptive to that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah, they don't care. I understand that.
They'll recognize straight away. Although I have to say, the most recent Uber that I got. Cool boy. I've had a couple of these before, right? Once in Scotland, this guy started testing the waters just with a bit of casual racism. Just a smatter of casual racism.
Entry level racism.
Just to test the water, see how I went with it, right? But his opening was very interesting because this bloke was Scottish, very thick Scottish accent, right? And, you know, I'm making an assumption about him. I assume he was Scottish. I assume he was born and bred in Scotland. I don't think that's a far off assumption to make about this bloke based on, you know,
what you're about to say.
He started talking about all these damn immigrants coming into Scotland and, you know, all the usual stuff, taking the jobs, blah, blah, blah. Just all the hits,
Had he heard you say a word yet?
Dennis, we were on the way to the airport where I had told him I was flying somewhere else.
But you also had told him in your thick Australian accent. That's what I was waiting for, yeah.
Talking about the fact that I am a mobile global citizen who enjoys visiting other countries and has moved to Scotland to be with, you know, the woman I love and all that sort of stuff. But that was fine with him because I'm a white dude, you know, and he started unironically complaining about immigrants coming and, you know, using the NHS and taking jobs in Britain to an immigrant who was in Britain using the NHS. I was working for an American company, but still, broadly speaking, in his crosshairs, and he just
this is something
up.
I run into a lot as a I guess you would call it local passing immigrant.
Oh yeah, you can pass for Irish 100% because I mean you are Irish, but you also have you're the son of literal war refugees.
I was born in Croatia, you know, born in Yugoslavia at the time. And if I first of all, I was about to say until I open my mouth, much like you, but then they just assume I'm American. That's not better. But yeah, I've had this experience as well. So how did you respond to that?
So here I made a very cowardly tactical decision.
It's okay for you not to be a hero in this situation. I think
I recognized that I just wanted to get to the airport and I didn't want there to be any fuss and I just wanted to get on my flight and not have an argument with this bloke about
it's also an asymmetrical relationship. You know, you're the passenger in his car.
And we're driving along the freeway at 100 kilometers an hour. And I'll admit, I could have and should have stood up and said something and pushed back against what he was saying. I did not. In the most recent one that I did, though, this was in Sydney, right, when I was traveling down to Sydney for an event, and I got into the Uber and drove to the airport, and the guy started to, he tried on, instead of some casual racism, he tried on some casual sexism instead, right? Just you know, mixing it up a little bit for his, it wasn't the same guy. I don't know if they colluded.
You again.
Like, oh, All right, I'm on homophobia this week. You can do, you know, I don't know what the, I don't know if there's an assistant.
It would be pretty wild if it was the same guy because he would be an immigrant in Australia had he done
that. Taking our jobs, yeah, using Medicare. Anyway, no, he started complaining about how awful it was to have to drive women around, right? Because he was talking about how they never knew where they wanted to go, how, you know, they'd tell him to turn and take shortcuts and do this and do that. And they never know what they're talking about, all that sort of stuff. And I didn't sit there silently this time, even though I was on the way to the airport. I had a bit of time up my sleeve. I was like, no, I'm happy to let this guy know what I think. So I told him that I thought that what he was saying was really shitty, and I think that maybe he should have a bit more respect for the passengers that he has in his car. And he did not like that one bit. He did not like being told off by the guy who had sat in his car.
Did he come back at you, Anna, or did he just shut down?
No, he shut straight down.
Yeah.
Shut straight down. But not in the sort of like, not in a chastened way, not in the way that it was like, oh, yeah, no, I will think about my actions.
This dude doesn't get it kind of way?
Yeah, it was in this churlish kind of like, wow, this guy's a prick type way. I was happy to wear that, you know. And then I got out of the taxi. I got out of the airport at the Uber. Everyone's clapping. Albert Einstein came up, gave me $100. Like, it was, you know, local hero, solves sexism forever. You know, it was great, yeah.
I've done that a couple times when, like, old friends of mine who I don't necessarily talk to as much because they're organizing an event or something, and they'll test the water. They'll make like some sexist jokes or some homophobic jokes or some racist jokes, and you'll give them pushback a little bit on it. And then sometimes you have to snap. And this happened a couple times during the pandemic because the sort of us and them mentality that rose up around restrictions and lockdowns and vaccines and stuff invites that sort of discourse quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to be like, hey, look, I think you're being an idiot. I think you're being selfish. And it's very difficult. It's difficult. I think we talked about this podcast before as well. Sometimes it's very difficult to do that with people you are close to. And sometimes it's very difficult to do that with strangers as well. So I don't blame you for not, you know, deciding for making the call on one of those times to not try and be a hero and uproot your day to defend justice.
Well, I wonder if it's a time thing as well, because the thing in Scotland obviously happened years ago, whereas this thing in Sydney happened like weeks ago.
You've also grown and matured as an individual, yeah.
Well, I don't know. That's one way to put it. I've just become less tolerant of bullshit from people,
intolerance,
like bigots. Yeah, exactly. So I'll tend to, I don't know. I'm a bit uncomfortable now because I feel like I'm being self-aggrandizing and making myself out to be this hero or whatever else. I don't think I just think it's the right thing to do to call, especially with older white guys, because they're the people who are just so laden down with privilege, not recognizing the impact and the power of the things that they do and the things that they say. They're the sorts of people who unironically say, oh, I can't say anything these days. So, well, there's a reason for that, mate. And like calling them out is important as another white guy, I think. Anyway,
We got off the rails here.
We've gone off the rails here. They can't all be winners, Dennis.
To summarize, I don't really like chit chat either. I think it's kind of annoying. Yeah.
True. Yeah. What I should be doing is going into workplaces.
Now, would you prefer now if someone came in
sniffing out bigotry and telling people off for it? Yeah, exactly.
Are you telling me you would rather someone had a conversation like that with you at the water cooler instead of Thursdays are Thursdays, huh?
So would I rather someone came up and said something
inflammatory,
like, something like, oh, hump day, or came up and just made a vaguely bigoted remark? I mean, I don't like either of them, but at least I'm going to feel like
more interesting, right?
At least I'm going to come away from them feeling like I at least got something out of one of them, in the sense that I was able to, you know, stand up for something. And like, I'm not going to turn around and be like, you know, when someone talks about hump day, I'm not going to turn around and be like, that sort of language really is just unneeded, you know?
So what I'm learning from this, and now I don't think you come across as a hero, so you're good. I think you would rather people be bigoted than boring. And I understand.
Oh my god. Okay. Well,
if that's where your priorities lie, I get it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. All right.
Well, I mean, I would never say something like that. I think that's great. I think that's a terrible thing to say. And that kind of language and opinion is really, I just think you should have a long, hard look at yourself.
Yeah. It sounds like I'm the one who needs to talk to you. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Have a Listen to This, your weekly dose of bite-sized nonsense with Riley Knight and Dennis Straniak. If you like the show, please tell your friends about it. If you didn't like it, I guess tell them anyway, but hopefully they download it and they like it. Or if they don't, those downloads show up just the same, to be honest. If you really like the show, you head to patreon.com/havealistentothis and support the show, get the show a little bit early, as well as some other exclusive perks, and, you know, help us keep the lights and the mics on over here.